And then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then will all tribes of the earth mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming upon the clouds of heaven with great power and majesty. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, on this last Sunday of Pentecost, after Pentecost, the church puts before us the end of the world. Very fittingly, because next Sunday is the first day of the church year. As we know, the day of the first day of the civil year is always January 1st, but the church in our liturgical calendar observes the first Sunday of Advent as the first day of the ecclesiastical year. So this is our reflection for today, the end of the world, which we may see. But whether we see that end of the world or not, we will all have our own end of the world. And what is scary is that we don't know when either of these will come. We know not when God will call us from this life. It could happen today. It could happen 40 years from now, for all we know. But we always have to be spiritually ready. Our Lord will not accept the excuse from us, "Lord, I need more time. Lord, I am not ready. Lord, I didn't finish the spiritual work I needed to do." That won't hold any water with Almighty God. And so we must live each day well, as though it were to be our last. So we are reminded of the doctrine of the church that there will be the judgment of the entire human race at the end of the world, all 100 billion plus people that have lived, according to one calculation, that will all be done in a way, and it will be miraculous because we will all be lifted into the air, as St. Paul seems to indicate. And then we will all know by an intuition all the sins that everyone else has ever committed. And our own sins will be revealed to others. But if we have died in the state of grace, if we have striven to become saints, we will not be fearful about our sins having been manifested, because then everyone will see what we overcame by the grace of God. So that's the general judgment. And what is the purpose of the general judgment? To glorify the justice, the mercy, and the infinite wisdom of Almighty God. In this life, evil seems to triumph so often, over and over and over again, but there will be no triumph of evil on the last day. It will be the triumph of righteousness, and God will be glorified in the presence of every single human being that has ever come into existence. But before that happens, it will be our own particular judgment. And that is on the day and in the place, wherever we pass, our Lord will judge us in a particular way. That's why we call it that. And our all-important goal is to be sure that we are in the state of grace, that we have worked off also as much purgatory time as possible, that we have accomplished our mission in life, that we have garnered all of the spiritual benefits, that we have laid up treasures in heaven. So this is a solemn day, this last Sunday of Pentecost, because again, of what our Lord teaches us about the end of the world. Now, in order to make the reality of the trials and tribulations of the last days come more alive or become more illustrated, our Lord is prophesying the destruction of Jerusalem, which many of them were going to see. So our Lord is preaching this in the year 33 AD, even though it wasn't called that at the time. That calendar, the Catholic calendar, came into use centuries later. But in our calculation, it was 33 AD, right before his passion. Our Lord is prophesying the destruction of Jerusalem. And of course, our Lord's words are fulfilled to the letter. He's God. He knows all things. And if he says something's going to happen, it does happen. So he tells them that will give them an idea of what will happen at the end of the world. So there's a juxtaposition going on here. And so our Lord says, when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Now, remember that many of the Jews were very strongly against the Roman rule. And the Romans ruled with an iron fist. They conquered Palestine and they subjugated it. But then there was these strong movements of the zealots from time to time. Well, it was always there, but sometimes it came more to the fore. And by the year 70 AD, Rome sent in its legions, additional legions, I should say, to utterly destroy the temple. And that's what happened. And it's so sad to read about in history what happened to the Jewish people. And then their temple, that is most beautiful, this second temple rebuilt as gloriously as possible, enlarged even and enhanced by King Herod of all people, it was utterly destroyed, pulled down. It was the parts that could burn were burned. The wood, that is, the cedar. And that caused all of the immense quantity of gold to melt and melt down into the cracks. And the Romans, to get at that gold after, you know, things had cooled down, they literally tore apart the rest of the temple to get that gold. And ironically, that gold was used to finance the building of the Colosseum in Rome. And then a century later, Jerusalem as a whole was destroyed. So large parts of Jerusalem and certainly the temple was destroyed. And before that, the abomination of desolation appeared. And I just want to read to you a little bit about what that was. And the author here is explaining all the things that the abomination of desolation could not have been because our Lord was prophesying it. And what happened is shortly before the temple was destroyed, the zealots, the wildest of the zealots, a band of robbers who assumed the title of zealots for their country, took possession of the temple, made the sanctuary a store for arms and the seat of their tyranny and murderous deeds. Thus was the holy place defiled by detestable deeds. The abomination of desolation was in its midst. So they were committing spiritual crimes, physical crimes, and it was just zealotry gone amok, so to speak. So our Lord was saying, when you see that, know that the destruction of the temple is very close. And then, of course, our Lord says, woe to those who have children at those times. Pray that your flight be not in the winter or on the Sabbath. And so, again, our Lord is giving this. It's a dismal picture. But remember, Jesus wept over this too. On Mount Olivet, there's a place marked as the church there to this day that marks the spot where Jesus cried for his people. It didn't have to be this way, but because of their continued rejection of him, this terrible punishment was going to come upon them. So our Lord prophesies again there will be great tribulation before the end, well, in the end times. And, you know, people have asked me, Father, are we going to see the end of the world? And I say, I don't know. I still don't know. But there do seem to be some of these signs. There has been the great falling away, as we have seen, where most Catholics, or those who call themselves Catholics, have fallen into the new religion of Vatican II, which continues to change doctrine and lessen morals. I mean, there's good people. We know there's good people stuck in the Novus Ordo, but hopefully they will be able to be fully enlightened and realize, I have to separate myself from this. I have to be traditional Catholic. And then our Lord tells us in these latter times there will be false Christs and false prophets. Be very careful. You could be led astray by people who are preaching a false Christ. The modern religions, so many of them are preaching a false image of Christ, one who is okay with sin. One who only talks about love, but not about righteousness. One that places a premium on emotional experience, puts that ahead of faith. Remember, the true Christ, well, what are his teachings? They're right there in Holy Scripture. So how are we going to not be led astray by false Christs and false prophets? Adhere to the traditional teachings of the Catholic Church. You will then not go astray. You will then not be deceived. I know our Lord speaks very dramatically in today's gospel. But again, this is something that is in the plans. And a lot of it is brought about because of the sinfulness of mankind. What should we do? Well, live our faith. Strive for sanctity on a daily basis. This is what we are called to do. And our Lord will take care of us. Our Blessed Mother will take care of us in whatever may happen. So hold to the faith. Do not be deceived by false Christs and false prophets. Our Lord is quite clear on that. And he said he would shorten the days for the sake of the elect. So have confidence then. We all need this strong dose of confidence. And it's a virtue. It's part of the virtue of hope, to trust in God. But in the meantime, and whatever may happen, we are always in God's hands. And so we live our life then trusting in him and in our Blessed Mother, she who has been given to us as our mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.